When you reflect on your relationship with your dad, do you think back clearly to those big talks, like the birds and the bees, just saying no to drugs, keeping away from underage drinking? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe Dad just didn't get around to having those talks. From my guess this half hour, it's somewhat true. They did have some of those talks eventually. Good morning. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In their new book, a familiar father-son duo come together to reflect on the conversations they did have and to close the loop on a few that they had yet to share. Bill Geist is a longtime correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and a best-selling author. And his son, Willie Geist, is a co-host of NBC's Today Show and a co-host of MSNBC's Morning Joe. Together, they're co-authors of the new book, Good Talk, Dad, The Birds and the Bees and Other Conversations We Forgot to Have. Bill and Willie Geist, thanks for being here today.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, both of you are in the communications business, and yet you never had some of these big talks with one another. Why was it important to go back and make good on some of these conversations now? And we'll start with Bill. Bill Geist?
I'm sorry. I had a cutout on my phone. I don't know if it was important. I guess it was to finally have them, but I was just the kind who was, especially the birds and the bees talk, I was just kind of horrified by the prospect of it, and I thought it would be very awkward, and so it was difficult to do. So we tried once. So once we were watching a baseball game on television together, as fathers and their kids are wont to do, and I looked over at Willie and said, "Do you think this is time to have our sex talk?" And he went ashen faced and said, "Do we have any pretzels?"
Change the subject very, very quickly. I think a lot of people came to us and said, "Why don't you guys do something together, some kind of a project?" And that we never quite knew what that was. And when my dad, a couple years ago, went on Sunday Morning and announced to his audience that he has Parkinson's disease, we realized we hadn't even really talked about that. Now, I should step back and say, I had a great childhood, happy childhood, mm-hmm. great dad, but we just didn't have these big talks. Part of it is because I think my dad comes from Champaign, Illinois, which he likes to say. In the 1950s, there wasn't a lot of emoting and hugging and pouring out your feelings. And so he wasn't that kind of dad. But to be honest with you, I never thought I was really missing anything. But the one thing that jumped out was for the first 10 years of him having Parkinson's, we didn't talk about that. And we said, man, this is crazy. We didn't talk about that. And then we went back and realized we didn't have the birds and the bees talk. We didn't talk about the dangers of drinking or any of those things. And so we thought it'd be funny for the most part to go back and have them 25 years later in the pages of a book.
Well, and it is pretty funny, and I we'll dig into some of these things in a bit too. I'm wondering too, though, when your dad turned to you during the baseball game, you're just sitting there enjoying a baseball game, and all of a sudden he drops that on you. What were you thinking at the time?
I was thinking, oh my God, how can I change the subject? And luckily there was a baseball game on, so I immediately started talking about Don Mattingly and Dave Winfield and the Yankees. I went back to our comfortable territory of conversation. I think what we found out on this book tour is that, while I'm certainly not advocating for not talking to your kids about sex, it's a very difficult thing to do, and a lot of fathers and sons kind of avoid it, or they do it in an awkward way, or they drop hints. And, no matter what kind of relationship you have with your old man, that's never an easy conversation to have.
I was trying to conjure up for this book what I would have said to him, and I researched birds and bees, and I couldn't figure out why it was birds and bees anyway. But the birds attract their mates with plumage and flying patterns and songs and stuff. And bees are very interesting. They can actually mate in midair. And with the queens and the drones, the queen and the drones mate and the drones die. So I thought that was kind of a dark message to give Willie. So
my takeaway, Cynthia, as a young developing boy would have been that you mate in midair and then you die. I'm not sure what to do with that.
Well,
it's a cautionary tale. It kind of keeps the amount of sex down.
Yeah, if you don't, yeah. Well, Willie, you mentioned too that that your dad never really talked to you much about underage drinking, for example. But Bill, you had a reason for that.
Well, the reason was I didn't think he was mature enough to understand it until recently. We had a talk a couple of weeks ago he's now 39, and he's able to handle it. He knows brands, and he actually had taken a bartender's course, so I thought he was ready to hear it.
But like a lot of things with my dad, there may have been, even if he didn't realize it, a method to the madness. I mean, he didn't talk to me about it, but he showed me how to have a beer now and again, sort of like Clark Griswold with Russ in the Vacation movies, how to have one and have one responsibly and have one in our house so that I didn't, like a lot of kids when they arrived at college, just totally cut loose and what is this new liquid that we're all allowed to have? And I think in some backward way, it sort of worked out.
I think this relates to Wisconsin, actually. My daughter went to Madison, and I went to a bar there for commencement with the niece who was about 14, and I didn't realize that in a lot of parts of Wisconsin, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can drink with a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like if a father orders a couple of beers and one of the recipients is a 14-year-old girl, that's fine. Isn't that how it works?
Yep, that's correct. Here in Wisconsin, that's
currently
the law.
That's a whole different attitude than the rest of the country has.
Yeah. So, but you think that other parents would look upon you with a kind of a scowl to know that you once in a while would allow your son to drink in the house?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And as a matter of fact, I look in the paper now and I see parents arrested for the very same activity. Hmm. So
I will say it's not like my dad was sponsoring, like, you know, raves in our house in suburban New Jersey. It was generally me and him responsibly.
Although occasionally 100 friends would show up.
Well, that happened once in a while, yeah.
We're talking with Bill Geist and Willie Geist. Bill Geist is a longtime correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. Willie Geist is co-host of NBC's Today Show and a co-host for MSNBC's Morning Joe. Together, they're the co-authors of Good Talk Dad, The Birds and the Bees, and Other Conversations We Forgot to Have. We invite you to join this conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. What are your memories that you treasure most about your relationship with your dad, and what conversations did or didn't you have? Were they awkward? You can let us know. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or leave a comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Bill Geist and Willie Geist. They are co-authors of Good Talk Dad, The Birds and the Bees, and Other Conversations We Forgot to Have. And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Joy Cardine. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Willie, earlier you mentioned that you realized just how much you might have missed out on by not having some conversations with your father. And you even talked about in the book about one thing that your father hasn't really talked a lot about, which is his stint as a combat photographer in Vietnam. How did you go about opening the door to these conversations?
You know, that people have been asking me, what's the thing you learned about your dad? And you'd like to think after almost 40 years, you know everything about your father. But there was that one hole in 1969 when he served the year in Vietnam as a combat photographer. And it was just something he'd never talked about for his own reasons. It was somewhere he didn't want to go. And occasionally we kind of dance around it when we're having a drink on the back porch, but never really dug into it. And because he was a photographer, we had all these amazing photographs around the house or up in the attic. So I could kind of look through those and try to imagine what it had been like for him, but couldn't break through. And then when this book came up, I said, Dad, what a good time, you know, if you've ever thought about getting the story out, maybe this is a time for you to do it. And he kind of blew me off, and didn't sense he wanted to talk or write about it. And then one day into my email inbox pops this big, long chapter that he'd written about Vietnam. And, you know, he says he wanted to forget the experience, but for someone who wanted to forget it, it was all right there, and he remembered everything about it. And it's just, you know, I see my dad as a humble guy, as a mild-mannered guy, as a funny guy, a writer, my little league coach, and then to have this put in front of me and say, my gosh, that guy I've known my whole life did this. I was impressed by his service, and I was proud of him, And it just added a little chapter to his story that that I'd never read before.
Bill, was it hard to open up about that ultimately?
Well, I think the reason I kind of denial has always worked for me. So I came back and I didn't want to make Vietnam the focus of my life, the central part of my life. And so I just kind of didn't talk about it. There's a feeling among a lot of people who have been in war that you really, it's very difficult to communicate your thoughts on it sometimes or to recreate the situations. And I didn't want to be put in a position, as I'd seen some others do, of kind of trading on the terrible misfortune of a lot of guys that I served with.
Yeah. We have a caller on the line. John in Richland Center is joining us. Hi, John.
Hi. I have a lot of respect for my father. He survived the worst typhoon in Navy history in the South Pacific, WW2, and then he come out of the war, and he grew up a nice family. And I'm proud of him because, before they dropped the bomb, they had that typhoon, and he was in a 110-foot tugboat. Mm-hmm. I respect him.
Thanks, John. And I imagine, Willie, that as you've gone through this journey with your father to write this book and to share stories, that your appreciation for your father has only grown more deep.
Yeah, I think, it's probably true for any kid when you grow up and you reach a certain age, you look back and you say, my gosh, look at all the things my parents did for me. Look at the life they lived. Look how hard they worked so that I could, have somewhere to live and have food to eat and clothes on my back. Because when you have children, which I do now, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, you realize just how difficult it is and what a great responsibility you have. So I think it's inevitable that when you're a kid, you take your parents for granted a little bit and you assume they'll be there for you and always take care of you. But you never stop to consider what that means until you have to do it yourself. So in that regard, every day I have more respect for my dad, but I've always had respect for what he's done professionally. I've looked up to him. People say, who's your role model in the business? Well, for me, it's pretty easy because my dad's in the business. So, I obviously have great respect for my dad.
But you can't discount the joy you get from having kids and doing all these sacrifices and stuff. A lot of them are joyful things. So and Willie is now getting up at 3:30 and 4 in the morning to do the same for his kids and coming home. And he gets home midday and spends time with them and is there for dinner and give them a bath at night and all that. So he's kind of going 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, your book has a lot of humor within it. I really enjoyed the stories that you shared. You say, Bill, that you come from a family of observers, quote unquote, and you wanted to set out to do something as a family to break the mold a little bit, and you chose to go fishing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, all these things, camping, fishing, hunting, all these things are things that I thought I should teach my son, as an American male. And the unfortunate part of that is that my parents didn't tell me that. My dad didn't tell me any of that stuff, and his dad didn't tell him any of that stuff. And so I didn't know how to do anything. So that was a basic problem. And you remember that day up in Nantucket, Willie, when we were surf casting?
Yeah. I mean, my dad, he always had the best of intentions, and he wanted to do the right thing by his son. So he said, we're going to go out fishing. We're going to go out surf casting up in Nantucket, which is right off the coast of Massachusetts. And so we got up in the middle of the night, as you do before dawn, because you've got to catch the fish, when they're fresh and when they're running. And we got up there, and we went through this whole rigmarole and all the things we're supposed to do. And we're standing in the surf, and it was foggy. And we're standing, 100 yards away from each other, 50 yards maybe. And finally, at one point, my dad describes looking through that fog back up to me, and I said, hey, Dad, and he said, yes, son, and I said, this really sucks, if you'll forgive the term. And he looked at me and said,
Yes, son. Yes, it does. As if to say, of course it does, but that's not the point. We're being a father and a son, and we're fishing, and this is what fathers and sons do. And it's not, you're not supposed to catch a fish, and when you go play golf, you're not supposed to play well. You're just supposed to be together. And so we continue to do things we're terrible at, but enjoy them somehow, just because we're together.
I think that's been the basis of our relationship, has just been a sense of humor about all these things and self-deprecation. And see, kept him humble, that's for sure.
That's so funny. Well, I was watching a talk that you guys did at 92Y in New York City. And Bill, you said something that stood out to me. I wanted to ask you about it. You said that the mom is still the most important parent. Why did you say that?
Yeah. I think when you, if there is a word parenting, and I'm not sure there is, because otherwise it'd be childing too. But I think in terms of parenting, I think the mother is the often unsung hero. I mean, the father gets to have all the fun of coaching Little League and all that kind of stuff. And the mom is, in my view, in our family, she's the bedrock.
Would you agree, Willie?
Yeah, I think so. But I think there's a partnership there. My dad gives himself less credit than he mm-hmm. deserves. My mom was just an amazing and is a force of nature and very, very, very important and dear to me. But I think, if speaking for myself, that my wife and I have an equal partnership and we focus on that. And my wife always says, we don't keep score. So it's not, well, you took them to practice today, so now it's your turn to do this. And we're not, it's not a game and it's not a competition. It's about respecting each other's time and respecting my wife and, you know, picking each other up. I've known her since we were 11 years old, so I know every raise of the eyebrow and every facial expression. And, you know, sometimes somebody needs a break, or sometimes somebody's had a rough day, or sometimes somebody's been working really hard and they need you to step in. So I think it's as much about your relationship with your husband and your wife as it is about your relationship with your kids. And if you do that successfully, you set a good example for your kids, and I think you've got a much happier house.
And I think there's been an evolution of this parenting thing with regard to the male's role, and of course, obviously, the mother's role as well, just in terms of doing things together and as a team, rather than father just going out to work and coming home and flopping down with a drink and, you know, at 7 o'clock or whenever he gets home, and leaving all of the housework and the dirty part and dishes and otherwise of parenting to the woman, to the mother. And so I think it's kind of evolved. I think my father and mother had a more distinct split in their roles. And I think my wife and I, Willie's mother, have less of a divide, and with Willie, it's bordering on 50-50.
What's your advice, each of you, for fathers and sons and even daughters who haven't traditionally maybe had some of these talks or talked openly in general with their father? How do you open the door, maybe start anew with the relationship? I guess, Willie, I'll start with you.
I think it's just a great thing to do, and I get how hard it is. Obviously, based on this book, we didn't do a great job of it, but I mean, we were forced into it with a book. But sitting down and talking through stories and talking through our life together, it's just a great gift and it's a great treasure. And I think a lot of people, after a father or mother passes down the road, they wish they'd gotten all the stories out or talked to them more, learned more about their life and who they were before they knew them. And I think it's just so valuable, and it's worth, even though it's difficult, to sit down, find a good moment on a weekend when it's the two of you, or if it's you and your parents and your sister, your brother, whoever it is, and just, you know, just introduce once, just ask a question, just throw something out. Hey, Dad, what was it like in college, when you were in college? Just something to open the door, just lob something out there, because I think you find a lot of times the person is willing to talk. It's just the act of introducing that talk, and I'm so glad that we were able to do this, and now we're lucky. We have all these stories inside the pages of a book that I can share with my son and my daughter, and they can share it with their children, and it will always live on a shelf in our family, and it's really our family history. So I would just, trust me, I know how hard it is, but man, this weekend, if you're sitting on the back porch with your dad or your mom, just throw something out there. I think you might be surprised where it goes.
And Bill?
Yeah, I think you have to do it in kind of an oblique fashion. I think rather than sitting down with a formal talk with your kids once in a while. If you're with your kids enough and you're both in tune with your kids and the parents are both in tune, I think some of this information comes naturally. I mean, are you realize where your child is in the along the timeline of whatever you're talking, whether it's drinking or whatever. I think if you're in tune with your kids and spending plenty of time with them, I think you get the message.
Yeah. And as we know from the sex talk, timing is everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I was always afraid Willie would contradict me because kids these days know more about sex than I do. I know it's in kind of a 1950s fashion, some of which is true and some of which is myth, but they're taught at an early age, and Willie always says he can rely on Google now.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for being with us today. This was a great conversation, and happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. Thanks for having us.
Bill Geist is a longtime correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning and a best-selling author. Willie Geist is co-host of NBC's Today Show and co-host of MSNBC's Morning Joe. Together, they're co-authors of Good Talk Dad, The Birds and the Bees, and Other Conversations We Forgot to Have. We hope you'll join us after the news to talk about the Dad Project. What memories do you have of your father? Let us know at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Cynthia Schuster. This is the Ideas Network.